our meeting of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts for purposes of looking at the report has been circulated to all of us regarding getting a report and a presentation from the Department of Human Settlement. Now, before we may start, can we get an indication of the honourable members that are present?
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, colleagues. Matlodi Maseko.
Thank you very much, honourable member.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon to the department and everyone on the platform. Mbulelo Isaac Seleko.
Thank you, honourable Seleko. Any other honourable member?
Good afternoon, Chairperson. There's just an apology from Honourable Derek America due to measures outside of his control. He will not be able to attend this meeting this afternoon. Thank you, Chair.
No problem then. In that regard then, Honourable Members, in the meantime, we are going to proceed. Those honourable members who are not here yet may join us and they will catch us on the way. And then, without any waste of time, then, honourable members, let me make use of the opportunity to once again welcome you to the Standing Committee meeting and also make use of the opportunity to welcome the department as led by the Honourable Minister Simas, and also a word of welcome to the Audit Committee as well, as led by its chairperson. Now, honourable members, I'm going to hand over to the minister to, if there are any opening remarks you'd like to make, and then also if there's a presentation that needs to be presented, and hand over to the department. Honourable minister.
Thank you. Thank you, honourable chairperson. I have to log in from my mobile device. So I can get access to your link. Chairperson, members of the committee, the head of department, as far as the degree of the bond, the intendants in the department, and the CFO, but also all other relevant role players present, Chairperson. On behalf of my department, I would like to thank you, Chairperson, for affording us this opportunity to present the audit report for the 2021-2022 annual performance of my department, which is now defunct because it's now a branch in the Department of Infrastructure. The year in review, which we will be discussing today, was one within which the Department of Human Settlements faced mammoth tasks of improving on our 2020-2021 outcomes, but also to ensure that we apply the corrections that were needed and to also cautiously focus on where we did not adequately meet certain levels which were hindered our performance in terms of noting, as ultimately was the penultimate or final year of the Department of Human Settlements. Chairperson, I need to emphasize the Union Committee was a mammoth task for us, to be quite blunt. It was one within which we saw the world markets changing. We started seeing the post-COVID-19 generation or reality, which in itself affected all government spheres and departments, but also one where we had to deal with the consequences and the collateral damage of the pandemic on our sector and on our province as well. The Auditor General conducted its audits and formulated its findings on the department's annual performance. And key, this is key to the strength of what is expected from us in terms of what the Constitution enshrines is the role of the AG, ensuring that the organs of state are held accountable effectively and efficiently to ensure that we do execute our mandate effectively and efficiently and in a transparent manner. Custom to this, and custom to the AG's finding, my department was afforded the opportunity to review and provide responses to the AG's findings, which we accordingly did. Therefore, Honourable Chairperson, what you will be presented here today is an in-depth roadmap to the final findings by the AG. This includes areas where there may have been misrepresentation of measures during implementation in this specific financial year under review. There are also areas where rectification and supplementary learnings were instituted by the department. At the end of the day, I do believe that the exercise of audits does not seek to be punitive, but to ensure that there's effective governance and implementation by, in this case, the Department of now the defunct Human Settlements. As a department, Honourable Chairperson, our commitment has always been that of an accountable, transparent and responsible department within a responsible provincial government, which will ensure that the well-being and dignity of our citizens remain at the centre of our service delivery model that we implement. And as I reflect on the year in review, I do so, Honourable Chairperson, with a great pride, noting the performance report. And I do want to thank the DDG, who was the former head of department, for ensuring, together with the core team at her disposal, that we managed to obtain the results which we will be presenting to you. But above all, ensuring that being now part of the Department of Infrastructure, that we can move forward, having learned valuable lessons, institutionalizing them, but above all, having a team now that's also committed to where we are heading with the department or the branch within the department. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. I'm now going to hand over to the HOD and also the presentation of the report. You can take us through the report, and thereafter, if Honourable Members got questions, we'll allow them to ask questions and point of clarity. HOD.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to keep my mic on briefly while I try to share the presentation. But just to say good afternoon to all the members present and to the members of the Audit Committee. As the Ministers indicated, we've had some changes coming into the new Department of Infrastructure. So, for example, present today in this meeting, you will find shifts have been made in terms of staff. And the, for example, the current, the former CFO of DHS is now in the Department of Mobility, is the CFO. We also have present today, because of issues that arose from the former DHS into the new department. So present today, we also have the CFO of DOI, Chantal Smith. And then we have been some shifts. For example, Benjamin Nkosi was key in terms of performance management, and Shida in the audits are sitting in different positions inside of DOI. But that team is present today as they were critical in the wrap-up of the previous Department of Human Settlements. And then we also have some key members from the branch of Human Settlements that is still in the department. So without further ado, I'm going to take us through the slides and see how we go. Thank you. So on the first part, the quality with regard to the audit opinion for 2021-22 financial year, it had improved from the previous year. And the audit opinion for 21-22 was seen as an improvement with an unqualified audit with findings, and that it was in accordance with the MCS and the requirements of the PFMA and the revisions of the Revenue Act of 2021, the DORA. In terms of the emphasis of matter, there are two issues that I would like to point out. One is that all outstanding litigations as at the 31st of March 2023 were carried into the Department of Infrastructure, and they were disclosed in the audited former Human Settlements Department's annual financial statements of the 22-23 annual report, which will be tabled at the end of September. To note that most of these litigations are in terms of evictions on rental stock or social housing. And then we also have some issues in litigation, for example, on land invasion. In terms of the second emphasis of matter on the non-adjusting events after the reporting period, that would be the merger of the human settlements component into the new Department of Infrastructure as a branch from the 1st of April 2023. The next two slides deal with annual performance reporting, and the both slides are in terms of annual performance on the indicators related to title deeds, which were qualified in the 21-22 financial year. In Programme 3, with regard to this slide, the issue in Programme 3 was that of duplication, picked up with 8 duplicate title deeds. Going into the 22-23 financial year, the department subsequently put in place a gap report to respond to all issues that were raised by the AG in the 21-22 financial year, of which title deeds was also listed. And due to an improvement in internal controls, this finding was resolved with no recurrence in the 22-23 financial year. Still related to title deeds in Programme 4, this slide speaks to the issue of one indicator relating to pre-1994 title deeds, and it is an issue of interpretation between the department and the AG regarding the title deed indicator heading. The indicator was about qualifying beneficiaries receiving title deeds pre-1994 in terms of housing units, whereby the AG said that it was not certain if it was housing units or stands. The indicator was submitted to National, and there was an agreement that the indicator be aligned, that's the indicator title, to the technical indicator description to include housing units and stands. And so on this basis, this matter was also resolved. It must be noted that going into the 22-23 financial year, there will be a issue on title deeds in Programme 4 in the 22-23 financial year as it relates to completeness. But in terms of the 21-22 financial year, the two matters raised by AG have been addressed. With regard to audit findings on other matters, the province had gazetted all municipalities previously in terms of Section 16.6 of the DORA, and not Section 16.3. The province gazetting to all municipalities of 16.3 became applicable, and the former Department of Human Settlements published a special gazette in February 2023 to make provision for expenditures incurred in respect of projects not on the approved national business plan. And some of these projects, for example, relate to retention money. Again, it must be noted that no findings occurred in the 22-23 audit in this regard. On the next slide, with regard to other service, to other matters, this one relates to an amount of about 718,000 rand. Is someone's mic on?
No, it's fine, ma'am. Please go ahead. I've just muted everyone.
Thank you. Can you still see the presentation?
Yes, we can see it.
Thank you. So on this slide, when it comes to internal control deficiencies, So this one is on other matters, and it's in relation to amount of just over 718,000 rand, which was a contract awarded to a service provider. And at the time of awarding the contract, the service provider was not tax compliant. Subsequently, two payments have been made, one in the 21-22 financial year and one in the 22-23 financial year, to the service provider for work completed. And both payments were processed after the tax compliance certificate was received. So this would be an issue coming into the 22-23 financial year. Regard to the next slide. The next slide is on internal control deficiencies, and it relates to one, performance management, where processes were put in place that included quarterly verifications and quarter four consolidation of performance information reports. So overall, you will see that from 21-22 going into 22-23, there were a better internal or improved internal controls put in place. In terms of DORA, there's non-compliance that was identified by the AG in the 21-22 financial year. That was addressed, and it was not carried over into the 22-23 audit. And then, the tax certificates issue was addressed with more internal controls being put in place, especially between the supply chain management unit and the Office of the Accounting Officer. And no cases of tax compliance were identified by the AG in the 22-23 audit. This slide relates to the material irregularity regarding the payment of FLIS subsidies. The AG stated that the subsidy amounts paid to FLIS beneficiaries were not in accordance with the housing code and should have been less. This material irregularity has been resolved as the housing code was amended to account for any anomalies. Also, the department standard operating procedure was changed to ensure that there are no misunderstandings in the application of the subsidy amounts. At the same time, internal controls were tightened up, with all subsidy applications going via the internal control unit before final sign-off and processing. I mentioned the governance action plan or the gap report earlier that was put in place because of the findings in the management report of the 21-22 financial year. To date, in the gap report, there were 50 recommendations that were made by the AG. These were addressed item by item throughout the 22-23 financial year, and we are still looking at sub matters going into 23-24. So it arises from 21-22. We started addressing it in 22-23, and there are still a few issues that are being resolved in 23-24. So just briefly to say, you will see that there are still matters in progress, and the matters in progress are in three categories. The first category is value for money or performance audits in terms of three projects. These projects are Forest Village, Transhex, and Syferfontein. They are still in progress as part of the 22-23 financial year. So that was the first category in relation to value for money or performance auditing. The second category are three issues in relation to contract management, whereby controls were put in place later on in the financial year. These issues are in terms of contract management: one, total payments made exceeded the contract value; two, no approval of extensions and expansions; and three, payments made after the contract end date. Again, it must be noted that for the 22-23 financial year, there has been no repeat findings on these matters. The third category are two issues on the annual financial statements, one with regard to the Abito municipality payment of 3.79 million. This matter is being carried into the 22-23 financial year, and it is still being addressed with provincial treasury and the municipality. Secondly, in the third category, in terms of the AFS, payables not recognized was the second issue, which are notes to the financial statements. So the last slide is essentially saying that coming out of 21-22, going into 22-23, again to emphasize there were better and more improved way of internal controls that was put in place. The overall audit results for the Department for Human Settlements remained unchanged from 21-22 and to 22-23, both years being unqualified audits with findings. Overall, the audit of the annual performance report improved with a qualified opinion in 22-23 only in relation to a material misstatement in Program 4 on title deeds. And then the overall compliance with legislation has improved with no material non-compliance identified. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson?
Hello?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
My apologies, ma'am. I just got cut off, but I'm back now. Is the presentation completed?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, no, fine then. Thank you very much, HOD. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, are there any questions you'd like to ask? Can I get an indication? I see Honorable Maseko. I see also Honorable Selepu. Can we just continue then?
Chairperson, I just want to find out, because we received another presentation from the audit committee. Are you going to allow them to talk to us before you take the questions, or you want us to handle?
Thank you very much for that, Honorable Maseko. Maybe let's allow all the presentation to get finished. And then when we ask question, on both presentation. Can I then
that will be
the chairperson of the audit committee?
Thank you,
Honorable Chair, and thank you, members. I'm going to just try to share my screen with you. Just give me a second, please. Can you see the screen, Honorable Chair?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity. Also, welcome good afternoon to the department. The previous HOD, Ms. Human, has actually had a very, very detailed presentation. So a number of the things that I wanted to say, she's already addressed. So I'm just going to touch briefly on us as an audit committee, our oversight role and what we've done to improve the audit findings for the department, and also just briefly on 2021-2022. Firstly, we as an audit committee have quarterly meetings with our normal oversight roles, and there we discuss various matters with the department, including the annual financial statements, the performance, risk management, etc. We also have then, in the presentation that you've just seen, we also then monitor these findings from the Auditor General with the department, and we regularly, on the quarterly basis, actually get feedback on it. So we're totally up to date. We query, we question, and we do our oversight role. Just over and above that, Chair, we also have a meeting to review the annual financial statements, obviously, the audit strategy, and then also we had a meeting with the Auditor General on these audit findings, which then was carried into our quarterly meetings and then was monitored and assessed by the audit committee. Over and above that, we had closed sessions with the HOD where some of these matters were discussed. And it did become easier when the HOD were appointed permanently for us, and we could see some serious movement in the right direction. And I also had a meeting with the MEC during the course of last year regarding these matters. And as you can see, there has been marked improvement. Just that's already been shared with you. Just one thing about the 2022-23 audit is there were substantially fewer audit queries this year. I think I spoke to the previous CFO yesterday. I think it was down from 50 to 27. So you can see there's also a marked improvement there. Chair, and then from an audit committee perspective, from our side, to ensure that these matters gets hands over properly, I had, together with the chairperson of infrastructure, where I had a meeting, and for continuity, there's also one audit committee member from the previous Department of Human Settlements now on infrastructure. So there's succession there. And we did a formal handover where we actually discussed the Auditor General findings and shared with them, and to take that forward, all the internal audit findings and also the enterprise risk management outstanding action plans. In short, a chair from our side, and that's what we did. We could see the improvement in the outcomes of the department for the year, and we then ensured that we have a proper handover from the ex-Department of Human Settlement into the Department of Infrastructure. And that's my story, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. That was short and straight to the point. Honourable members, if we may then now continue in the order that we have asked the questions. Honourable Matloti and Honourable Seleku.
Thank you very much, Chair. And again, thanks for the department and the presentation that we have received. Just a short question, Chair, maybe, to get the clarity. We are dealing with the audit outcomes of 2021-2022 financial year, isn't it? And the remedial actions that we expect is for 2021-2022. So I want to find out, because I see on the presentation there is the reports that talk to your 30 September 2023. And continuing, I see status April 2023. Is it the dates for the remedial actions of what happened, or how, just for me to have an understanding before I can ask the questions, understanding of why do we have the some of the dates that talk to the 2022-2023 no findings, like on page 6, on plans to prevent the recurrence. And it says the department implemented the HSDG, and then there is, Chairperson, mute yourself as a brief. So then it says that therefore the province gazette to all municipalities, blah, 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 no findings in the 2022-2023 audit in this regard. Now I'm trying to find out if maybe Ms. Kirman can help me before I continue with the questions. I will appreciate that so that it could make clear, I can make sure that I understand the presentation. Can you indulge me with that first, Chair?
Okay, Minister and HOD.
Okay, if I may briefly, Chairperson, may I proceed?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Honourable Member, the slides, except for the last slide, all the matters raised in each of the slides up to slide 10, I think it is, all of those slides are all the issues that were raised in the management report of 21-22 financial year by the AG. The two things on the first slide, because we also have to demonstrate the wrap-up of the Department of Human Settlements and that there are no outstanding issues going into the Department of Infrastructure, or if there are outstanding issues that we've responsibly taken it into the Department of Infrastructure. So on slide 3, the reference is made to the list of litigation matters, because that was part of the wrap-up and closure of the Department of Human Settlements, and that is for the committee to note that all of those matters were taken into the new Department of Infrastructure. The chairperson of the Audit Committee made a comment about the handover into the Audit Committee of the new Department of Infrastructure. So it is to ensure that continuity and the absolute close off of the former Department of Human Settlements. So all of these slides speak to 21-22 and the issues raised in the management report by the AG. What we are also wanting to demonstrate, in addition to the closure of the Department of Human Settlements and the carryover into the new Department of Infrastructure, is that on each of these slides, the matters have been addressed and or resolved. There are one or two matters that will still be carried into the Department of Infrastructure as arising from the 21-22 management report. One of these matters, as an example, would be on the three projects that I spoke about in terms of performance management, which is Transex and Syferfontein. And the other one would be on the title deeds, which goes as a qualified finding into the Department of Infrastructure. And so again, Honourable Member, the slides are speaking to the matters raised in the management report of 21-22, while we want to demonstrate the responsible closure of the former Department of Human Settlements and which matters are now being carried into the new Department of Infrastructure. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Member.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I continue with
Please proceed, Honourable Member.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to find out then on page 9 of the presentation, where the Auditor General talks to the way incorrectly, talks about the fleet subsidies paid incorrectly, and we're saying that the were incorrectly calculated and paid to beneficiaries, the subsidies. Now, the department is saying there was no non-compliance to laws and regulations. And I want to find out from the department, what was the loophole for the AG to utter such statement that there were the calculations were incorrect? Versus when you say that there's no non-compliance to laws and regulations. Is there a loophole that is there? Because my fear is that if that is the case, it might be that in future it becomes something that will be okay again if there's no any understanding between the calculation versus the interpretation from the department side. But if that is being settled again, it's okay. But the loophole, I think from Scopa side, we usually want to know what was the loophole for it to be misinterpreted by the ANSA to come to that conclusion. I think anything else, Chair, is being settled. I'm happy with everything. That's all that I want to find out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maseko, Honorable Sileku.
Thank you very much, Chair, and to the presenter. Thank you very much for the presentation. Chair, mine is just short and simple. And I will just want the presenter to talk more to slide number 10 in terms of the 50 recommendation from the AG, which 35 has been met, and on the 13 that is still outstanding. If she can just give us more detail in terms of when she expects the, you know, progress or a finality in terms of the 13 that is still outstanding. And secondly, Chair, most of the issues that has been raised in or the recommendation or the mistakes that have been raised by the AG is it's done by human beings. It's done by people. When one does not comply to a certain legislation or to a certain law or misinterpretation or payment, and those are the issues that are done by individuals. And what is lacking here is the issue of consequent management. As much as internal controls has been put in place, not a lot has been said about what the department has done to correct or to capacitate or to fix, you know, what the individuals were doing. You know, what I'm trying to say in a nutshell, Chair, is that the department must be able to tell us in terms of all these things that have been raised, done by individuals, what action has been taken by the department, you know, pertaining to these particular individuals. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, with your indulgence, can I just the last question?
Yes, Honorable Maseko.
Thank you. Chair, I just want to find out the on the same question that Member Selebu asked on the issue of the human error. That is there the cost implications to the once-off human error? And why is it so many human errors if you look at the remaining issues that still have to be dealt with? And the last one on page 11, maybe if the unpacking of the last bullet point of the overall compliance with legislation has improved, because I tend to believe that the compliance with legislation has to be like a holy ground, a must. So if we, the statement says it has improved, what does it mean? If we can get unpacking on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masego. I'm going to hand over to the department to answer the questions. And then if there are any follow-ups, I will allow honorable members to ask the follow-up. Mine that I have, maybe they might be answered in the responses that is going to be given by the department or the minister. If not, then I will ask them afterwards. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, may I proceed?
Yes, please.
Just on the human error, was mainly the tax issues where tax certificates were not compliant, and that is largely due to suppliers' tax status has changed overnight. But we have put more controls in place and checkpoints between the supply chain management unit and the internal audit team and the accounting officer's office, so that the tax certificates are checked literally a few hours before the accounting officer signed off. And that was the arrangement in the former department of DHS. Those internal checks in the branch are still in place inside of DOI, but we're also conforming to a platform that is more stable in terms of the checks and balances coming into the DOI department. In terms of the FLSP subsidies that were paid incorrectly, this non-compliance has not occurred, and the interpretation between the AG and the department, there was a difference in interpretation. And to ensure absolute clarity and no misunderstanding, the housing code was amended. Then in terms of the performance audit and the gap report on slide 10, there are still three issues that are being dealt with, because the 22-23 performance audit is still in process, and those issues should be addressed before by the conclusion of the 22-23 performance audit. In terms of the is it compliance with legislation? I think that part of that is on the DORA issue, and that has been addressed in terms of the regazetting. And then in terms of the consequence management, it is difficult to do the consequence management in the 5 or 6 months that I was in the department. What I did was go through each of the cases, and then so consequence management doesn't necessarily equal disciplinary action. In some instances, we put training in place. In some instances, letters were issued to the officials, for example, in terms of the tax compliance and so on. And I also handed three matters over to labor relations, which is still being investigated. Chairperson, do you feel that I've responded to all the issues raised?
Yes, but I see there is a hand of Honorable Masego.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ben.
Also, Honorable Sileku might also want to do a follow-up. Honorable Masego.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, okay, so when we come as COPA, we want clarity so that we have an understanding. It helps us when we go to another annual report. So if maybe another thing is the abbreviations, if they can be a little bit lesser, it will help for our side. What I'm trying to find out, Chair, is that the 2021-2022, This stating the DORA issue of the non-compliance has appeared on the outcomes. Now, for the remedial for 2022-2023, the overall compliance with legislation has improved, but the report now says there is the issue with the DORA. So what is the issue? What is it that cannot be fixed if it's still the issue, so that we can list that this is still has to be fixed, but it will be fixed by when, so that we don't repeat again on the 2022-2023 to try to find out again that now we are done with 13, we have reduced to 7. Or six. So if you unpack it for us, it's going to help us and the department when we do the annual reports to have that understanding about the DORA that cannot really be dealt with from the AG side and ourselves. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Seleko.
No, Chair, thank you very much. And for the answers as well. But Chair, you know, I think what is important is one is very cognizant to the fact that the issue of 6 months has been mentioned, that there was nothing one could have done in a period of 6 months to deal with consequent management. But one would also appreciate that it would have been better, or it would have been easier for us to understand in terms of how many people are affected. Because remember now, if you look in terms of the audit outcomes of 22-23, you know, the department is still being stagnant. You know, there is improvement in terms of the issues raised, but there are still issues. The department has not gone to the next level. And one needs to go into deep and try to fix the problems. And then if we don't address the basics, Chair, and make sure that the ones that are responsible, and I'm not talking about, you know, punitive action or being dismissive, but just to make sure that, you know, if there is skills lacking within the department in making sure that the department complies in terms of legislation. Because for me, it's worrisome when there are members within the department that are misinterpreting what the house, you know, the housing code is saying, and they end up going, you know, paying double payments of subsidy, and it has to be corrected with negotiation. One would want to know, you know, more information in terms of if now that there is a merger in terms of infrastructure and the human settlement, has there been individuals affected or involved in what the findings has been saying that have left the department as a consequence of their action? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Seleko. I think I will also give the department to answer. Let me just quickly maybe chip in one or two of my issues I wanted to raise, maybe to both the minister and the HOD and the department in general. I think the advantage that you have by coming to present at this time, and by the way, let me thank you eventually for being able to come. We know that there have been quite a number of postponements, and then of course, understandably so, but we're glad you eventually managed to make it, Honorable Minister, in the department. But of course, the advantage that we're having now, I think you know the status of the audit finding for 2022-2023, which as the HOD has been reflecting that it's improving. You know, and part of us having taken the decision last year to come and invite the department was to see how is the department going to manage that situation so that we can improve from those unqualified with findings and even end up to have unqualified with no findings. That's why we have actually involved. We also even asked the audit committee, which is something that we did actually as a committee for the first time, because we also want, while we are busy with the issue of the audit side as well as the accounting side, the issue of governance must also be taken into. That's why we've also involved the audit committee, because at the end of the day, when things go wrong, we're also going to ask, where was the audit committee when this? So I'm glad that we have actually made that request, and then we have seen that the audit committee seems to be in agreement that there is an improvement. Now, based on this improvement, HOD, which I think you've already got, you've received the report from the Auditor General about the 2022-2023 finding.
That's right. Yes, Jefferson.
Which is unqualified.
That's correct, Chairperson.
Yes, yeah. So that's why I'm saying, at least now you can say, you can safely come in front of us and say, look, the situation has improved from what it was previously, which is good. And we're actually glad about and grateful about. But there are some of the issues. For example, there are technical issues like the issue of the title deed, the FLISP and the DORA. To me, I regard those as kind of technical. They can be dealt with administratively. It might have been some administrative error. There might be no financial, serious financial irregularities involved or mismanagement of money. But then there are others that are repetitive, which I would like to get your response on, which are, they seems to be around the issue of tax non-compliance. I think in your presentation, there were actually two instances, if not more, where there have been instances of tax non-compliance. The service provider has been fined to have been, his tax certificate was not in compliance, but still it was paid, you know, and I think it occurred more than once. Surely that will require some kind of a serious investigation as to what really caused that, and maybe ties up with the question of Honorable Selegu, where he says that it will have been good to find out whether the number of individuals that were involved, that were found to have been involved in these activities, so that we can know whether if there have been some that have been subjected to consequent management. And I also want to say, Honorable Minister, we must not be shy to be punitive in terms of action if there's been wrongdoing, because consequence management is really about that. Because if we are saying that when there is wrongdoing, there must be punishment that goes with it, but it must not be punishment that is based on witch hunt. We are really trying to find fault. You know, when you are on a witch hunt, you are really trying to find fault, even if there are no fault. But where there has been repetitive actions, maybe it will be good to hear maybe what is the department going to do regarding that. I hope you've managed to, as general as they are my questions, I hope you've managed to catch them. Thank you very much. HOD or the minister.
So, minister, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Before DDG Skierman has a go at it, firstly, I do want to thank you for your and your committee members for very good, I think, relevant questions, given that hindsight is just as good as foresight, because it shapes the foresight of where we are heading and where we need to improve. But more so, specifically, the pattern which you have alluded to in terms of consequence management, which I think is something which I've also been focusing on since I became the provincial minister in 2019. And now, together with the management team, that, you know, we have put certain processes in place to address some of the very historical and repetitive nature of some of these findings in the management report, which you have alluded to, Honorable Chairperson. Because for us, when we migrated to the Department of Infrastructure, it was crucial for me that we do address them effectively and efficiently, because I did not want that to impact on the new department's performance. I must be quite upfront and blunt about that. But with that said, Honourable Chairperson, it wasn't an easy process to close the one department and start the new and put the checks and balances in place, obviously taking note of Human Settlements' own management report and some of the historical and repetitive nature of some of these matters which we are discussing here today, because the bulk of them focuses on administrative errors, or something which is also underlying to the administrative errors which you have alluded to is that there was never a full focus, or there was a lack of focus on continuous training for the staff, which we effectively addressing through the various interventions as part of the Department of Infrastructure. Because the department, and even the new department, Honourable Chair, knows that I am one that believes in proper accountability. And I do agree with you, you know, where individuals were caught in the wrong. You know, the first logical question that I have asked continuously in exercising my oversight role over the administration is to ensure that accountability was up with assessing the competency level of those individuals that were within Human Settlements who were part of this repetitive nature and sadly part of the repetitive issues which the AG kept on flagging. Now, obviously, once we identified what their levels were, before one takes the punitive approach, you need to focus on upskilling and empowering those individuals and addressing them, obviously, at that level. But where you have a chief director responsible within a specific program, there I proposed, and the DDG can expand on this, that we further tighten the nuts and bolts in terms of our performance agreements, because it's one thing to be an executive authority. It's one thing to focus on certain things, but chief directors also need to be held accountable, Honourable Chairperson, which entrenches the belief that I think we all share in consequence management, and it starts from the top down, not from the bottom up. And, you know, what are improvements? It also speaks to tightening the screws in terms of our agreements with our chief directors, who are supposed to, in a cascading manner, ensure accountability is then entrenched as part of the culture in what is now the branch Human Settlements. Over to you, DDG.
Thank you, Minister. Chairperson and honourable members, from my side, just as a point of clarity, the tax non-compliance that was in one of the slides on the service provider, it was human error in that the contact was awarded when the service provider was not tax compliant. Subsequent to that, there were two payments made for work completed, but those payments were not processed before we ensured that the tax that the service provider became tax compliant and had issued an up-to-date tax certificate. So in terms of that, we then put in further checkpoints between ourselves, the supply chain management unit, bringing in the internal control unit, and then the AO's office in making sure that the tax certificates were checked literally an hour or two before signing any further contracts. So in everything that I look at in terms of internal controls, while we were still operating as the Department of Human Settlements, we put stronger and more controls in place by amending the standing operating procedures across the department to include the internal control unit, which served as an extra checkpoint across different supply chain matters and performance matters. In relation to the FLSP subsidy, Honourable Member, the department, there was a difference in interpretation between the department and the AG, and that interpretation or miss or difference in interpretation was resolved in terms of amending the housing code so that there's very clear outline in applying that in terms of the criteria. but the department was not wrong in its interpretation and application of the housing code. The DORA payments that were made to the municipalities was a once-off occurrence for the 21-22 financial year, where the payments that were made were not in the National Business Plan. And that was amended or addressed, rather, by re-gazetting those payments in terms of the Gazette of February 2023, to address that. So in terms of the processes that were then followed, DORA was also resolved and is no longer a further issue. In terms of the consequence management, there were different mechanisms that we did within the remaining time we had in the Department of Human Settlements while we moved. We're getting ready to move into the new Department of Infrastructure. So there are at least three matters that is with labor relations that we are looking at. In general, we provided training, we issued notifications and letters to supply chain management officials. And then we also, the bid spec and the DBAC had to undergo training. So in terms of the consequence management, the biggest part of it, which I would like to emphasize that the minister raised, is the awareness and training of the officials. And in the three incidences that we handed that over, and that is still an ongoing matter that would need to be reported against. But in general, the two things that we focused on was the training so that officials understood what it is. And then the second was on the improved internal controls, especially in terms of the standing operating procedures across the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, HOD. Honourable members, are there any follow-up questions? If there are no follow-up questions, just for my own point of clarity, Honourable Minister and maybe HOD as well. Now, as the new Department of Infrastructure, now I take it that Human Settlement is a unit or a section of the department. Or where do you place it?
Honourable Chairperson, if I may respond to you.
Yes, please.
As alluded to by DDG Scare Manual, notice why I call it DDG, not the HOD, because Human Settlement is now a program or a branch within the Department of Infrastructure. Hence, the HOD is now the DDG, because she is now at that appropriate level according to the organization as well, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much for that correction as well, so that I can also in future know how to address. Thank you very much for that correction, Honourable Minister. Honourable members, if there are no further questions, Honourable Minister, I don't know whether are there any closing remarks you'd like to make as we may.
Honourable Chairperson, once again, I do want to thank you for acceding to our request for postponement last year, and I think you fully had good comprehension on why we asked for that. I do want to thank your committee and its members for affording us today to do a presentation to answer your questions. But above all, I want to thank you for your pertinent and very objective questions, which seeks to ensure that we optimize our own performance. And as Human Settlement is our branch within a department which has a very good historic track record of checks and balances under CFO Advocate Chantal Smith, we do believe that culture and a further entrenching, not only training of staff, but also the levels of accountability will bear further fruit in terms of our performance and enhancing our performance as a branch in terms of Human Settlements moving forward. So once again, thank you for affording us this opportunity. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, from my side.
thank you very much, Honorable Minister, and also to the TDG and the rest of your members of your department that has accompanied you to this. We are grateful that eventually you've managed to come and interact with the department. Although I think it has put you in a bit of an advantage where you came in at a stage where you know what is the outcome of the audit for the year that we are going to be sitting on the annual reports on, so that you can always say, prove to us that, look, the situation has improved, you know. No, otherwise, thank you very much for actually for availing yourself, and thank you very much to the department as well. We highly appreciate that, and you may be excused as we are going to continue with some of the business of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you.
Now, Honourable Members. The next item, Mr. David.
Yes, Chairperson. Hi, dear Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you.
Just waiting for your direction, Chair.
I think now what we can deal with now, I know we still have to deal with matters of SAPAC as well as the, I think at the same time, I think we can deal with the issues of preparing for the next annual reports that we are going to be sitting on. But I think maybe before we deal with matters of SAPAC, Honorable Members, I know at our previous meeting, we said that we are going to deal with the annual report, whether is it going to be virtual or in person, and we'll deal with those issues as and when they come. But it looked like that is not going to be helpful because it might kind of influence how matters are going to be handled, because it might even have some budgetary implications as well. If we are going to say we are going to be virtual, it's fine, it's well and good, we'll just meet virtually. But if we are going to be in person, there'll be preparations for refreshments, and there will be there's also going to be a preparation for interpreters and a whole lot of, and even the venue as well for that matter. I see Mr. David's hand is up.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, just from an administrative point of view, Chair, it will be good if the committee can just make a resolution for the annual reports, whether the meetings will be in person or virtually, Chairperson, because if it's going to be virtually, Chair, then we have to, if it's going to be in person, sorry for that, if we're going to be in person, Chair, then we will have to make logistical arrangements as soon as possible, because that takes time from administrative point of view to get all the service providers on board, Chair, for the annual report. And as you know, we're starting in about 4 weeks' time, Chair, which gives us just enough time if the committee decides to go in person. If the committee decides to go virtual, then we only have to have interpreters, Chairperson. But if the committee can just give us as the administration guidance through a resolution going forward, what the committee would prefer, either virtual or in person, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable Maseko.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm a little bit worried if we are going to shortchange our oversight role, especially for this committee, based on the financial constraints. We don't have to buy food we can drink water, we can buy ourselves food, but it mustn't be that we are taking decision based on what is the core business of this institution. I'm a little bit worried if that can be the message that we put on record, that we have to do the job. Like today, you had a connection challenge and you are the chairperson. And the annual report will be every day. Member Kasim couldn't log in because I had their connection challenges. And some other things is not in your control. You will know that I have a good connection for one reason or another. We got the ESCOM, we got the Wi-Fi. The worst case scenario, it will be if we have to do a department that has about three entities, and on that specific day, that's where everything is not working. It's going to throw us off the track. So let's be mindful of that and say, how are we going to cushion that in? Because this committee can say, we are not going to cater for the departments as they come. We are going to concentrate on the business of the day of doing the oversight, the annual report, which we happen to do it once a year to develop our agenda for the whole year, for the coming years. So we need to think again and again, how are we going to do that? Today, I think it's a eye-opener of if things can go wrong and the chairperson is a bit difficult for him to be able to can comment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maseko. Honorable Seleku.
No, Chair, I'm listening to what Member Maseko is saying, and I will take a wisdom and guidance in this regard. As you all know that I'm still new in this process, and it will be my first time engaging on annual reports from the different departments. And one would be appreciate the guidance from both of you, and then I would definitely concur, you know, with both of you. Thank you very
much. Honorable Seleku, your annual report of your standing committee, is it virtual or in person?
At this particular time, I have not come to a conclusion whether I'll go the virtual route or I'll go the face-to-face route, but I will consider maybe face-to-face as sort of...
Honorable Maseko?
It's in person, Chair. Nine is in person. It's a new department. We have to know who's who, and I wouldn't want to extend the meeting unnecessarily because someone is saying, am I audible?
No, thank you very much. Honorable members, I know I'm also one person who always want to deal with issues in an open manner, allow as much consultation and participation as possible on any subject matter. Of course, there are pros and cons for this. If we say we are going to be virtual, it's about the easiest. The only thing that we are going to be having is to sit in front of our laptop.
I can't hear you.
Right, Chair, you're breaking up. Chairperson.
It's gone.
Members, I'll just call the chairperson to say that that we lost him. I'm just calling him quickly on his phone.
SAPEC. I know there's the notice that has been sent out. It was sent to me. I asked the procedural officers to distribute it to members. It's basically alerting members to a pre-SADCOPEC meeting of SAPEC, where they are going to ask us what are the issues that we'd like to propose to be discussed at SAPEC. And that meeting is scheduled for the 21st of September. It was going to be on the 19th, but because of other challenges, it could not. And then it was agreed that it's going to be there. And all members of the Public Accounts Committee are requested or are invited to attend, as well as staff members as well. So it's going to be quite a very big meeting on a virtual platform. I think that one is just really for information, honorable members. And I think also regarding SAPEC, their arrangements now are actually in full swing in preparation for the delegation to go to Durban. We won't be leaving before, as was anticipated, because the KZN legislature did not come back to us whether they are available for us to have an engagement with them. So we'll be leaving just a day before the start of the SADCOPEC conference. So that's really just for information. Unless there's any other thing I might leave out, Mr. Davis and Ms. Kruter, on SAPEC matters.
Chair, Ms. Kruter's got her hand up.
Is saying everything
is fine. All in order.
Thank you. Now, then, honourable members, are there any? Then the next item is the document, the approval of document of the committee. Mr. David.
Chairperson, at this moment, Chair, we are still compiling just all of the outstanding documents. Chair, can is it possible if we can arrange maybe a very short meeting for the SCOPA membership before we leave for Durban, Chair, and then
the approval of those documents.
Yes, of all of those documents, okay. Chair.
No problem. So then in that regard, then honorable members, if there is no other issues, let me thank you once again for the indulgence and your patience, as well as your attendance to this meeting. And it's actually marked the last of our meeting, seeing the department. You could have finished much earlier, but of course we have to accommodate the request of the department that wanted to be seen, to be met at a later date. And obviously our last meeting in terms of annual activities for seeing department will be us approving the documents. And thereafter, we'll be going to SADCOPEC. From SADCOPEC, we'll be hitting the ground running straight into the annual report. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank
you, Brian, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. Thank you, Cupcake. Thank you, Sunshine. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you,
Wendy. Have a good one.